Welcome to the weekly edition of Beyond the Title, where we get to know the person behind the strategy, the story, and yes, the brand. Joining us every week are senior professionals across the globe. So amazing that we just have to know who they are.
Hi, Steve. Congratulations for the Xavier Carnot. It's pretty hard to say in English, though. Usually it's Xavier, whatever, but you said it really well. I love it.
I try.
I'm glad the X-Men went through the cinema and theaters recently because it helped everyone to say X correctly. what should I say? Yeah, I'm Xavier Carnot. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I think it has been a very short discussion together for this invitation. I agreed on doing that very, very fast because such an energy discussing with you is great.
My pleasure. No, it was amazing having you. In fact, I mentioned this the first second I heard you speak. You've got that amazing presence, not just on screen, but again, you've got that presence with people around you. Cindy, thank you so much for introducing me to Xavier. So let's start off with the first question. What is your ikigai, the reason you jump out of bed each morning?
So I should say ikigai is the reason why I wake up, right? I didn't know the term before you said it. So that was, learning is the first one. but more often, I'm a project guy. I like new projects. I like going through and finding some new ideas and trying to make things happen at the end. I'm not a project thinker, but I'm purely a doer. So tell me you have something to do, I'm going to do it. Don't ask me to think too much about something. I'm not really good at that. Use my hands, not my brain. That's really much better. And at the end, what I like in all these kind of projects and things, clients, I'm definitely a good, I wouldn't say hunter, but client grower, you know what I mean? Like spending time
with people.
And that's my second thing, my teams and the people around me, people I'm working with, just like creating some engagement all together and good vibes. That's exactly what I love. And that's why I'm waking up every morning.
Awesome. I will come back to that one because I'm guessing this is the kind of energy, this is the kind of nurturing skills even Accenture looked at as they were looking at the other bits and pieces of Sutter Mills and they were keen to merge with the company. But now, I often ask this to my speakers as well. If life were a movie, which character would you play? I'm happy you touched upon Professor Xavier, Professor X Xavier, from X-Men, because again, X-Men, the universe is quite diverse. I'm a huge Wolverine fan, but what is the character you would like to play?
Actually, I wouldn't like to be the Professor Xavier. Not sure he's in the best position for the next episode, but and I'm sure there will be some next episode. No, I've chosen Brad Pitt, not because of Brad Pitt, but especially in the movie A River Run Through It. I'm a huge fishing fan. Or at least I'm trying to become a fisherman at some point. So I'm very jealous about Brad Pitt. He's got some skills, like moves that I don't know how to do this, and I will never know actually. I love fishing, but I'm a poor fisher, poor angler. But I will learn, I swear, and I want to reach his level. But also because I like what the story is pretty sometimes calm, but also I like the way he's taking freedom out of everything that happens, going far from the design path he had from his family and everything. So landscapes, fishing, and this kind of freedom and ability to make decisions which are out of the box at some point.
Now, you say fishing, and I've been lucky enough to know that you've got two beautiful daughters, you've got an amazing wife. Are you planning to teach your kids to fish as well?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, we already fish like family fishing times, and I'm planning on next year to go to fish in lakes in the French mountains in Pyrenees for 3-4 days, sleeping under the tent and fish every day. I guess at some point they will be so pissed that they want to go back home and get the iPad for listening to silly stories and get a good movie. But at least they will be in need for it, like I need it, like addicted to that. But I'd like that, and I think some of your questions are really about what I'm expecting for the next years to come and everything. I want to grow my kids in the responsible mind, with like a good sense of nature and spending time there. And I think fishing is just the best way to discover nature and to walk around, discover nice landscapes, and be really, really careful about nature, because as soon as the water gets a bit dirty or with chemicals, no fish anymore. So you have to think about it when you are a fisher.
That is awesome, and you're also teaching your kids to be responsible for what they're doing, to the planet. I love that. So when I wake up every morning, right, the first thing I do is I look at my WhatsApp. I turn on my LinkedIn and check if there are any messages, because, again, I'm very connected to my network. There are lots of my partners, lots of my clients on there, and I love to know what's happening in the world of business. But what is the app that you really can't live without? That, you know, because you're doing so many things, because you're leading such an amazing company and projects, you know, what's that? What the apps you can't live without?
I'm going to tell it. I'm going to say it. It's going to become public, right? I got no shame with that. I got no shame, but I'm trying to quit. Yeah. I removed it from my phone 2 days ago, and I'm trying to do a whole week without it. It's Clash Royale.
Oh, wow. Okay. Why did you want to quit it?
My wife is just like so pissed now that I'm spending so much time on it. So I see my kids. My kids are like, "Dad, what are you doing? Are you playing still?" Like, no. I'm working. I'm gonna, I'm looking my some financial market stuff and stuff. I play a lot. I actually, and my teams know that. Some of my guys from Solar Mills, they know that I'm playing so much. Like sometimes during some calls or stuff, I play. So I need to quit. I get to become a grown up at some points. I'm a bit like you though. WhatsApp usually is something I spend some time on with friends, getting along or trying to keep in touch. Also, I guess all our lives are becoming also very international. So you get friends in London, in the US, and everywhere. So you want to get in touch. So WhatsApp is a classic. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because of modernity. I love reading news and spending some time listening to podcasts like. Stories, books, and stuff when I can. I'm trying to my wife is working in the art business, so I'm trying to show her that I can be evolved at some point, not only play Clash Royale. So sometimes I'm like, no, I'm listening to a very fantastic podcast about the Noai. Not sure, they are great collectioners from the mid 20th century. I'm listening a fantastic podcast. I'm not playing. I swear.
Well, now this is live, so do share the link with your wife now, so she can actually hold you to it. And if you do change, and if you do add Clash Royale, she's always welcome to write a comment right below. She started again. Hey, shout out to WhatsApp. I am grateful for the app. I know we have a lot of different kinds of messaging apps, but I'm happy, as you mentioned, we are an international community right now. As we are trapped indoors, we are trying to be social distant, very responsible, all of the above. Keeping in touch with other people, our families, our colleagues, our friends is just as important. I'm happy you're using WhatsApp just as much as I am. So if you could turn back time, if I could turn back time, there are a number of things I would have taught myself or at least mentored myself to do differently in my first job. What about you?
Maybe I would have started with working back then when I was at uni, because I've done nothing. Really, I was like I was spending a lot of time in a student association that was working already for companies as consultant business. So it was a small. We were like 60 students working for companies in a student mode. I was spending like I would say 90% of my time there. It was really interesting. I was making some money, so I needed it for living at that time. And And it was good, but my diploma and my time at school was really, really, really small, and I really messed it up. So now I have home a 17 years old teenager from my wife's first marriage, and I have to tell him, hey, you need to work, and I did nothing when I was at his age, so... I guess it's complicated, and when he sees me playing Clash Royale, it's more complicated. luckily, we play together, so it's okay. We keep a link together.
I was going to say, you know, you guys can always play together. You can always sync your games.
Exactly. The story I keep in mind is really working on what you're good for. You know, you were asking some few questions before about. What's next and what's everything. I think the first lesson learned is know yourself. And I'm going to use this great philosopher who said, be yourself no matter what they say. I think it's for the Greek. No, I don't know, maybe it's Sting. Yeah. Sting said, be yourself no matter what they say. And I guess know yourself is something more important and know what you are good at. It took me long for understanding that I was good at business and deal making and spending some time with clients and sell. And it took me a while for that. And sometimes I might have tried to go in some ways because some people pushed me also, which were not using my full capabilities and skills. So first, I would say, know yourself, know what you're good at, find what you're good at and spend some time on that. And then the story, I was really passionate about the sport business. I spent some time at IMG. I'm not sure you know them. It's a global leader for, at the time, it was a global leader for marketing and events and sport agents. And I was really, really willing to work on the sport in the sport business. And I was working at the French telco SFR, and they proposed me to move and deal with all the sport sponsors partnership. And manage that part, so I was really excited. And my boss at that time told me, "No, let's keep on working together. We're gonna do great things." And 2 months later, he told me, "Oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to handle some sales in south of France." I was like, "What, man? It was a story that we need to live together, right?" No, okay, come with me. So I found myself in the middle of nowhere, going from supermarket to another supermarket for selling mobile phones, while I definitely wanted to manage these sports sponsorships. And I said, okay, now you have to make your decisions. And you can make every decision if you are good to people and explain that. So listen, learn, do what you're good at and do what you want to do, no matter what people say.
That reminds me of a conversation I had with our MD, Kubi. By the way, Xavier, I told you this 2 days ago as well.
I don't want you to be down after this kind of pitch.
I'm going to be very happy with your pitch or with this interview, because I told you this, you know, the day I spoke to you. You remind me of our MD of EMEA, our managing director, Kubilai Sengun, who you'll also be sharing stage with for Uplift in about 2 weeks' time, actually, on the 23rd. But I mentioned this to you that, you know, you guys are exceptionally forward people, which I actually appreciate, and I think the business world really needs a lot of them, to be able to speak your mind, to be able to share your thoughts, and to be able to be, you know, as inviting to positive feedback, to feedback itself. And I love that about you guys. And again, you guys are very good at doing what you really love and chasing that passion and dream. But yeah, thanks for that. Is there a pivotal moment? Is there that one time you thought, yeah, I'm really good at sales, I should be doing this more?
Yeah, no, actually, it was a really it was really interesting, because, and I'm not sure if it's the place to tell my story, but I was a pure Parisianer, you know what I mean, a pure Parisian guy. My brother was having some retail business for suits, ties, and shirts, custom made and tailor-made stuff. So I've been in France, in the middle of nowhere, nearby Toulouse, and I arrived there with my French haircut, my Parisian haircut, my tailor-made suits and stuff. And I was, before going to SFR, I was working at L'Oréal for a while. So really the pure guy coming from Paris, very, I don't know, I was not that humble, I guess. And I think 3 months after I started, my boss called me in his office and said, okay, guy, Now you have to go to change your suits and ties and shirts. You need to have your haircut. You need to change the way you behave with people. And that was extraordinary for me. Because finally what you feel is selling is taking care of people, right? Caring for people. And definitely I was just trying to sell, but I was not trying to enter in a normal relationship with people, trying to understand their needs and so provide, if I can, some answers to these needs. So definitely that's been a great experience for me. I discovered more that I loved the selling process rather than just discovering that I was good at selling.
True. That's nice. There's a high when you are good at something, when you do something that, you know, you can take back and say, yeah, I did that really well.
I'm not I'm trying to be good. I said I love that. I didn't say I'm good at.
You are, Xavier. Otherwise, again, Accenture would not have invested their time and energy and wanted to merge with Southern Mills. But again, that is about you. And again, you have some amazing partners who have also co-founded the company with you. So I'm guessing throughout your life, there have been different kinds of leadership roles you've played. You know, that's also informed your next decisions, etc. But what's the biggest leadership challenge you're facing during, you know, this particular time? These last few months have been challenging. We had an amazing influencer from Philippines last week, Sean C. And it broke my heart that though he should have just taken, you know, a step back and said, I can't do this interview today, he did so. And that was when, you know, one of his colleagues passed away because of coronavirus. It broke my heart. It also touched me that he wanted to be as professional about it because his colleague was just as professional about it. And she wouldn't have wanted him to do anything differently. But for you, what has been the biggest, you know, challenge during this time?
I would say like social distanciation is the worst. We are in the middle of a very complex process, right? Merging two companies, but also I had the chance, Accenture gave me some responsibilities with 170 people to manage with Sonha, my co-lead. They are based in three cities and within five different offices. I guess, and they're coming from three different companies that we are putting together and recreate a team, right? So the hardest challenge is to put all these guys together, have them feel that they are part of the same team and have them feel that they are sharing the same professional identity at the end, right? And then they will be able then to carry that out on the market. But so for now, it's really spending some time with them, reassure them about where we go, what we are doing, and how we are going to do it. That's really complex in these times. So that's really a challenge for us. But it's so exciting too, also, right?
Again, excitement is what's driving us forwards, right? And you're right, it is tough. You're not only doing all this with, you know, 170 people. From five different offices, three different cities, three different companies, as you mentioned, but you're doing it virtually as well, right?
Mainly virtually. Yeah. We are not really pushed to travel and some offices are closed. So really, it's virtual, and I guess that's going to be one of the challenges for everyone, right? Creating some virtual companies, and creating some engagement in virtual how people are feeling that they are part of a group, right? When they are home every day, working from their home, and sometimes also because they moved out to other cities because they decided not to be in Paris, for example, or in Lille or in Lyon or in whatever. So that's going to be a challenge for everyone. I'm really keen on hearing from success stories on that. If someone got something, please share. What would you do if you were me? Help.
I'll tell you what.
I think we're doing a good job, but we can always do more and better. So if you have good stories and good success stories, very happy to hear from you guys.
You know, I'll tell you what. after this interview, I'm going to post it on our LinkedIn page. I'm going to raise a question. I love that you've already asked for help. And I think engagement is the need of the hour, digital engagement as it is. And I think a lot of our network and your network combined will definitely have different ways of how they did this. How they, you know, onboarded new staff, or how they created a merge of companies as well in this lockdown period. So what are your predictions for the new normal and digital world 2.0? What I mean by that is we've been, and I think you mentioned this as well, we've been in this particular state for about 6 months, right? Let's not count the first 2 months of the year. People have had the ability now to form certain habits because they kind of realized, yeah, digital kind of makes easy sense for them, especially for people who don't want to have to leave the house all the time to do, you know, quick shopping, etc. But what are your predictions?
Well, the first one, I was really doubtful about the success of the internet. Now I'm sure it's going to work.
I would have a job if we didn't have internet.
I got very little faith in human nature, right? So I'm not sure that we are all going to change our habits tomorrow in terms of way to be a more responsible consumer, a more responsible driver, a more responsible, I don't know what. I'm not sure it's raising consciousness at a level where people are will not be the same as before. So very small, very low faith in human nature for that. But I'm pretty sure that, yes, it has changed some habits. Well, you see the NASDAQ, it's pretty clear. You are a tech business, you're rocketing. So yes, definitely people have changed, and it will not be reversible afterwards, for sure. So to me, like lots of classical companies, I would say non-digital first companies, are going to struggle in the next years. It's not too late, right? But some places are already taken, and our habits will not change and will not go back. So going, and this company and these businesses have to understand that simplicity, instantaneity are the two main factors for success for now. And even if they have big piles of PowerPoints telling that they need to be more simple and more instantaneous and more fantastically data-driven and digital-driven. Usually what I see and why I love my work and what I love discussing with people is that what we see, leaders are not behaving as they are behaving as an individual, right? So the moves companies are making are not really tied to what we are living as consumers and what we are living as individuals. And I'm always very surprised with the banking ecosystem, seeing that banks are releasing some apps that are not really matching what people are waiting for. And I'm always thinking about a CMO validating that. Maybe he's not using Netflix or not using Amazon or not using I don't know, WhatsApp or all these apps. So that's to me, that's one way for successing is just think as a professional, exactly the same way as you think as an individual. What would you accept and what would you not accept as an individual will design the way you have to go in terms of company and recreate some success for, I would say, classical company coming from the digital ecosystem.
I love what you said, because at Uplift, a lot of our speakers, a lot of the community who are attending Uplift as well, they mentioned that if you're not going to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer, of the customer, and you're creating products just for the sake of creating products, right, you're not going to see any kind of great growth or adoption or even want for your services, because you've just created because you thought it was cool enough, because you had to create one, because you had to be ready for the digital world. All of these things are justifications for why you create a product, but they're not the end result. They're not the end goal of why you created that product, because you wanted your customers to have a simpler life.
I had an interesting discussion with a CMO from the energy world. Selling some contracts for electricity and gas and everything. So I told him, oh, cool, it's really hard to sign a contract, online contract with you guys. And I told him, since how long haven't you tried to sign a new contract with your company? Do it yourself. Just do it as a regular client. He said, it's been 2 years and I'm a CMO, I've never tried.
There. You're right. I completely get you.
I'm always surprised with that. You sell a product, you need to be definitely trying it from every angle and try to understand if you would buy it or not first.
Hey, try to, you know, if you'd buy it, then the others would follow. Steve Jobs, that's actually, you know, what he created the smartphone for. did you go with Build and They Will Come, Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
So what is your hope for the future? What is it that, you know, you want to see happening?
For myself, go fishing. That's my plan.
With the family, yes.
With the family, in some preserved environment. So that's nice. That's something we need to work on definitely all together. If I have to formulate one hope, it's true for everything. Don't be a spectator, be an actor, right? Just like move yourself and do things that you'd like others to do, and maybe others will follow. It's pretty hard, I have to admit. I mean, I was thinking this morning, bringing my kids to school, I was thinking about our interviews, and I was like, shit, man. I'm going to tell them that we all need to be actors, and that's fantastic. And that's just like sentences, right? At some point, I was asking myself, right in the mirror, should I tell them that I need to go for becoming mayor of some city and have things change, but I don't like politics. So it's hard to find the way you could act, but I'm pretty sure everyone of us could act. That's my first hope. My next hope is to find the next project, whether it's in Accenture, whether it's outside, and bring some teams together. I think I've so much enjoyed my 3 years and 4 years as an entrepreneur with 100 people, creating some identity, creating some good vibes, really creating jobs in some ways, but also seeing people evolve. When you see someone that you hire like 4 years ago and you see them evolve, you also share some personal thoughts and personal evolutions. Getting married, having some kids and everything. It's so joyful. So again, next project, to see people grow, to see projects grow, to work with more clients. And I hope, I mean, that's something in life that you don't have always the chance to leave. So my hope is really for everyone listening to us, if there are some. We'll have the chance to have this and to experience this. It's just a fantastic moment and experience.
Amazing. Great words of advice as well. I do like that. Experience life, don't be a spectator, be an actor.
Again, it's not an advice. Actually, it's something I try to do and I try to figure out how to do. So I would be very mean on telling people what to do and not doing it myself, right? So for now, I'm trying. I'm investigating. I'm working on it. It's hard.
Hey, there are 170 people in your office I know will agree. If not, they can drop a comment below. Well, we are going to be sharing this post-event. And so let me close it off because we are running short of time and I know you've got a whole day ahead of you. Let me end it with something fun, right? One of the weirdest facts about me, which my mom actually pointed out a few years ago, is every time I leave the house, I have to test if my house is locked twice. Every time I'm in a hotel room, I need to check the lock on the door before I go to sleep at least twice. Is there a weird fact about you?
No, listening to you, I think we should end up with what you just said. Wow, so weird, Steve.
Hey, it is a weird fact. I have this thing of, you know, I need to be in a secure location or I need to leave the house in a secure way.
Something weird about me. I love going to bed very early.
How early is early?
Like 10.
Oh, that's 10, not 10, early.
Yeah, but it becomes a problem when you have some friends at home, for example.
Oh, right.
That's the weirdest thing about me. Sometimes I get some people coming home and I'm like at 10, 10:30, like, hey guys, have a good night. Up, and I leave. And I did that when I was single, right? So sometimes I just left the keys on the table and telling guys, okay, this is the wine, this is the whiskey and everything. I'm going to bed. Bye-bye. Here are the keys. Lock the door, leaving. Okay. So yeah, man, and all my friends know that when I go out for dinner with people around 11, everyone is looking at me, guy, Xavier, it's your time now, and if you need to leave. But I like to wake up very, very early, like around 6:37, it's my time.
Amazing. Well, I don't normally sleep that early, so my usual time is around 11:30, 12, given that I spent that 1 or 2 hours with my wife before I... Yeah, I am looking forward to at some point having a face-to-face event, having a nice networking evening in the, you know, app post-event, and you going, Steve, that's it. It's crossed 10 o'clock. I really need to go to sleep now. So, goodbye. At that, Xavier, thank you so much. It was amazing, and I had an amazing time speaking with you, interviewing you, understanding a bit more about the person behind that title. And I'm looking forward to our conversation at Uplift with our panel discussion. Till then, everyone who's viewing, thank you for joining us again this week.